Blog Talk Radio.
ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
It's Sunday, 23rd of February, day after Dr. J's birthday. My late cousin Audrey's birthday. Bert Flowers, and the first president of the United States, George Washington, refused to be crowned king. Also, the day before, Kobe Bean Bryant. I thought about that. I wish I had known I'd call him KBB. Memorial tomorrow. Lakers win a big game today. There's always a big game against Boston, especially at L.A. Memorial being tomorrow. Birthdays this month. Smokey Robinson. Sir Charles Barkley. The Doctor. Dr. J. Michael Jeffrey Jordan. The greatest running back of all time. Jim Brown. Bill Russell. Greatest player ever, baby. Biggest winner in NBA history. The greatest pitcher of all time is tomorrow, Steve Murray. Richest boxer in the history of the game, Floyd Money Mayweather Jr. Celebrate birthdays tomorrow. Second of the month was the elegant, the classy, the lady. Class and distinction of the Audra Chambliss, who served a birthday. The second of the month. My brother James, my brother James, always said I was blessed to have a brother like James and a brother named James because Christ had a brother named James. His birthday was the 7th, the day before was my Uncle John's birthday. Also the birthday of Babe Ruth. The day before that, Hank Aaron's birthday. I remember how I looked at that, how after Hank had passed Babe, I checked the birthday and said, wow, his birthday's the day before Babe Ruth's too. Babe has a birthday, Edwin on the 14th. Jump Shot Red, Jason Reyes. This is Figure Bro, his cousin, NCAA champion, too. I think the late Ethel Barton. It takes a whole village to raise a child. He's one of the people that helped raise us all back there on Iverson and Madison Street. And I was working a house one day. I saw a picture of John Mackey. It was a great lady, man. She gave me great money for working and everything. And so, you know, a couple of dollars back then was a lot of money. Movie's 35 cents. Subway's 15. I saw this picture of John Mackey. I said, oh, Barton, I know you're a football fan. So what do you mean, baby? You got a picture of John Mackey. Best tight end in football. Oh, you mean my nephew, John? remember meeting John and talking about that. We talked about his beloved, and she had married into his uncle's family. So many beautiful people who helped raise you. Wallace B. Brown, greatest throwing on baseball players of all time. Bakers, Tony Baker. Go ahead, Melly Mays. Jack Bartlett. Nathan Ridge. Tonto. Dr. Mr. Dixon. Of course, the weather today is getting the 50s in New York after being cold. Cold! Thursday, man, it was freezing. Freezing. Friday, oh, 50 today. It means so much more, miss my beloved Fortaleza. Tyson Fury was big! I mean, Cliff, I liked him. I thought about it, woke up this morning about a great cigar. I said, you know, he won the fight last night when he got up off the canvas in the final round before the last time. But he's just a better boxer. Who'd that to be? We'll talk about that with Dusty, D.W. Mike, hopefully Harold West, and some other people, too. As we talk about Fury, raising hand, finally beating, somebody beating, almost did it last time. A lot of people thought he did. Deontay Wilder. But as always, it's Black History Month and Sound of Blackness. As we look at, I always thought it was a smack in the face. You know, shortest month of the year. And you just can tell our history in 1 month. First of the late, great kickball immortal, Anklet Brathwaite. What are you jest? And, but some of the birthdays this month, I told you, you know, it'd be a tremendous basketball team. It'd be a hard team to beat. Michael Jordan's birthday this month. Charles Barkley's birthday this month. Bill Russell's birthday this month. Okay, so you got Hall of Fame forward guard. And two of them are considered to be the greatest players of all time. And I throw a third name in here. A lot of people think it's the greatest player of all time. Dr. J. J and Barkley up front. Russell in the hole. Michael bringing the ball up. I can play that. All I gotta do is pass the ball to anybody. Yeah. Black History Month. Thanks for so many things, too. Look, it's plenty of music, too. We know we so much think about Black History Month. And that song dedicated, gotta get some guys to join us, too. Dedicated to somebody who was vital in our history. A long time ago, I heard the song, too. I always liked them. It's one of my favorite groups, too. The Neville Brothers. We'll take a minute or two. Play it next month again, too, as it's Women's Month next month. Yeah. Let's take a moment or two. Loot. A pioneer. And we're going to play our opening ritual song. Neville Brothers. Sister Rosa.
Started our freedom movement. Thank you, Sister Rosa Parks. Mr. Rose.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Radio Network. Opening with our tribute to Guard song. Got my man from Chi-Town here with us. We had a good discussion last night. Wish we had done a show then. So Chauncey will be with us in a minute. But right now, giving all honor and praise, first and foremost, to the good Lord, Kurt Whalen. Wrote the song, The Daughter of the Legendary, Donny Hathaway. She won a Grammy for this, too, one of the great songs of our time, too. As we pay tribute on Sunday and every day. It's what I do. And with that, we'll follow prayer and get into our discussion. Sports in Depth Sunday, Kobe, birthdays, Black History Month, Fury stops Wilder, and the rest, they say, is history. Kurt,
like you, it's
because you're mine. It's because you're you. It's because I'm love. It's what I.
Sports and Death on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and God Data Network. With Doc Stanley and his posse, where we rope the rumors, call side issues, and brand the truth. Trust and God.
And with that, I'm going to lead into our prayer section. I get a lot of prayers during the course of the week. So, and this time, as we take a moment to bow our heads, take our hats off, stop talking, stop walking, pray homage to the one and true God. Let's go in prayer on this Sunday. And John Coltrane leads in prayer, discovered by Miles Dewey Davis, or Harold Weston's buddy, discovered Coltrane, and the rest, they say, is history. If you're a Netflix fan, so there's a nice documentary on Coltrane on Netflix, among others, Malcolm X, a six-part series, The Two Killings of Sam Cooke, another documentary on Sam, Who Shot the Sheriff, about my daughter. My daughter didn't say, Pop, you know, if you do Netflix, check out the Black shows. Quincy Jones had a documentary, too, him and Ray Charles were just so very, very close. But let's pay a little homage. Let's go to prayer, okay? And I got this prayer sent to me today, so I'm going to read that one from my man today. As you face the challenges of life, remember the reality of spiritual warfare. Remember the power that God has given you. You don't have to be ignorant of the devices of Satan. Even before you face attacks, put on your whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, chapter 10, 11 verse. Be bold in Jesus. Job's trial began with an enormous encounter between God and Satan, but even though there was a spiritual encounter, Job himself never seemed to approach his challenge from a spiritual perspective. The Bible makes clear that life changes when we are both born again and we follow Jesus and we are filled with his Holy Spirit. When we employ the spiritual weapons he has given us, and when we exercise the authority he has given us over all the power of the enemy. As Christians, we have the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Spirit at our disposal. Job seemed to know nothing about these weapons. Now we can use his blood to bind Satan's ability and power in our lives. Declare victory. Today's Bible reading is taken from 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 4, verse, prayer of the day. Father, I bind the power of Satan over myself and my family in Jesus' name. Because of his blood, I declare victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Sent that by my man, actually by the lovely Tina Woods, the sister of Bill Calhoun. And we want to thank you for that prayer and thank God for another day. And another quick thought as we say, good morning. As the sky breaks into a beautiful sunrise, may God open the heavens to shower you lots of love and happiness to make your day. Amen. Dr. Andy's watching the Blog Talk Radio Trust and Government Network, John Coltrane. Wow. I remember Miles said in his autobiography that Train had a missing tooth. And when he had the tooth fixed, he was fearful Train would lose his sound, which wasn't the case. And he talked, too, about how he understood Train leaving the group to move on and start his own group, but he missed Train so much. He said having Coltrane was like having two saxophones in the band. John Coltrane, his greatest piece, A Love Supreme, Coltrane died about 71 or 70, about that, about 37 years old. It's Philly, too, Philly guy. And with that, last night, oh, got some more thoughts. It's quick, you know, birthday month, this month. Wow, yo, a basketball, I think we talked earlier, for Gentleman John Don, basketball team-wise, man, you could be in good shape. You know, Chance, you could play in this backcourt. I could, too. Jordan is born this month. Charles Barkley is born this month. Dr. J is born this month. That's your front court. And Bill Russell at the center, considered the greatest winner of all time. Me and Dusty talked about the fights because I'm like Fury and Wilder, and I thought when I woke up this morning, again, by the grace of God, I thought, you know, in reality, Harold and Chance, and also Chance, well, thank you, my man from Chi-Town, too, and thank you for joining. You there with Chauncey? Chance, you here? Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, glad to have you with us, man, my man from Chi-Town. And I thought, you know, Dusty, Sean,
yep.
Harold, I got another caller here, too. Is that you, Jump Shot?
No, it's me, Harold.
Jump Shot. No, I got a 718
Mr.
call here,
Harold.
Too. Yeah, 718-274. You know, I thought Harold, Dusty, Chance, when, you know, Wilder actually won this fight last night when he got up off the canvas in the 12th round of their first fight. And, I just looked at, and I was thinking, too, if you, Harold, you and you do, Dusty, that masterful job that when Cotto fought Trout, when he fought Austin Trout in the Garden, being the bigger guy, the hitting, out-jabbing him, leaning on him, wearing him down, and, you know, when I think Fury weighed 270 at the weigh-in, so you knew he was going to come in at least another 20 pounds. He was damn near 300 pounds when he walked in that ring last night.
Yeah.
And, go ahead, Dusty. And from the beginning, he was the better boxer anyway, Dusty.
Yeah. Well, the fact is, like you said, let me just, a taste of history. Like, you and I have been married for 40 years, and I've been telling you the same shit, man, that Wilder Fury is not a fighter. And the first fight with Fury proved that. Expose him for the one-punch cinder block puncher that he is. And all he's developed is that right hand. No jab, no nothing. Now, last night, kudos to Tyson Fury. He's smarter and sharper than we make him out to be. He's a clown. He's a juicy king. He's a druggie. He's a this, that, and the other. But the man got some smarts ring generalship. He jumped to Kronk Gym. The Emmanuel Stewart nephew, to change and alter and improve some of his moves. He came in, some 173 pounds, 193 pounds, whatever the hell it was. And the guy did what he said he was going to do. You know, talk is cheap in boxing. He did what he was going to do. He said, I'm going out knowing that Wilder, as the rounds go on, gets stronger and we get tired. I'm not going to risk that. I'm going to go out after him from the first round. And when the first bell rang, he went out. He practically ran towards Wilder and overwhelmed him. And this is how the dude's strategy was. Grabbed him, clinch him. You know, clinching is an art. You guys tell me no. He had and walked him back.
No, We never said that. Go ahead.
Okay, you gonna debate now? Okay, and when you clinch and you hold a man, you walk him backwards, you tire him out. Those over pounds were beating and disqualified in this discombobulating Wilder. And the strength of this man was overwhelming. You can see that Wilder said something in the press conference, well, it's going to be a David and Goliath, and David's still going to win. This time it was Goliath's time to get even because he pounded the man from the first round through the knockout. Hey, he knocked him down with a left hook to the body. Wow, that's unheard of. He had him cut in his mouth, he busted his eardrum, and it wasn't a busted eardrum. He hit him, and he cut his inner ear. He had to take three or four stitches.
That's how bad, and you can tell by the fourth or fifth round, Wilder was finished. Now, there was a controversy of who threw in the towel. The towel was Mark Breland to try to save his buddy. But the main trainer was pissed off at Mark Breland. Oh, no, he should have let him continue. Is he for real? How good of a trainer he is when his man is getting murdered? Two or three more rounds would have been disaster. I felt
I you know what, the thing too, Dusty, that we're worried about here, what I hope Maxie joins. We're worried about here now that they may use that as leverage to delete Mark from the camp. You know, and Mark has said,
absolutely.
Yeah, and Mark has long said, and I you know this too, how Mark has long said that, you know, Wilder, and you said this, Dusty, way back.
Yep.
Wilder's whole forte was that right. That erased everything. You 0 for 4 today, you grounded. Now you hit the one home run in the bottom of the ninth. You know, and that was the one thing that always got him over. But in a lot of ways, you know, he was a clown fighting clowns. Ortiz had him beat and gets knocked out. You know, that's twice as in. So,
because
you know,
he can hit like a mule.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you maybe about 6-7 months ago, that's the one thing you said. You said, you know, Doc, you know, this guy, outside of his right hand, has nothing else. But if he touches you with that right hand, and that's why I'm saying, Harold and Chauncey, when Wilder got up, I mean, when Fury got up in the 12th round, because Mark said, you know, he hit him. He said when he hit him, he was out cold, but once he hit the canvas, it woke him up. And, you know, there were some other things too. I heard that Wilder went in there with extra weight. I mean, that was crazy. I mean, extra weight is not going to enhance his punching power. You know, but, you know, as I started to see this too, Dusty and Harold, he started having too many people in his corner. He had Mark. That seemed to be more than enough. Now he's got this other guy in the corner. Then he's got his cousin in the corner. And now he ain't got the belt no more. And the biggest thing I kept hearing was he wouldn't listen. You know, he wouldn't pay attention to what was said. So, I mean, hey, the rest they say is history.
But
and Harold, I mean, your thoughts on the fight. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dusty.
The guy Beater or Dieter, whatever, the white guy, has had him since he was a kid. Mark Beater just came in on maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So the guy that had his ear was the white guy. Beater was just like polishing off his jab and this, that, and the other, but the main man was this dude.
Window dressing, Dusty, from Tuscaloosa.
But this is what I'm saying, that he's blaming Breland, which he threw in the towel to save his buddy, but he took it as another step. Man, he could have continued. Are you serious? You go on there and take the beating that Wilder was taking. I hope psychologically.
You know what, Dusty, you remind me. You remind Major Lance. You guys remember him. He had some big hits. Remember him, how he had the monkey time, rhythm. And he said he was a fighter. He said, you know, he said, man, he said, you know, he said, that was my first 12, 13 fights. And then, you know, I started taking it easy. He said, and then one night, this guy, you know, was beating me to the punch, you know, and I came back to the corner, and my corner said, well, don't worry about it. You know, he's not really hitting you. He said, yeah, he ain't hitting you. He said, he's hitting me. Yeah, you're right. He ain't hitting you. He's hitting me. You know what I mean? Harold, your thoughts on the fight last night? Were your thoughts on both guys?
Well, you know, Wilder's always been a guy that thought he was Hercules. And that,
very good.
And the thing that, you know, made him win fights because of the fact that there's no fighters out there that's a real thinking fighter, except, you know, last night he realized that he faced a man that changed his whole style around. And at the same time, he's a thinking fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got a guy that thinks that he can just brutally beat you with his muscles, where a guy's thinking, the guy that thinks is going to win is going to win the fight.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, basically, Wilder has got to change his whole approach. You got to understand, and this is what people don't understand about boxing. This is so good about boxing. Very few guys think in boxing. Very few.
Yep.
You got great trainers. Very few that teaches fighters how to think in the ring. And those great people that did that, they're not around no more. And so when you got a guy like Fury that's thinking, and he changed his whole momentum in this last fight too, Wilder was completely lost because he never think. All he think he's going to do is just come in there, hit you, and the fight's over with.
Exactly.
See, this is where boxing has lost its craft in the world, because you don't have those great trainers teaching these kids the fundamentals of being a thinker and being knowledgeable about how the sports really works and looking colorful while you're winning fights. And Wilder doesn't have in his corner to do that. All he's been doing is got bums, knocked him out, he's strong, and he was in condition. But now he's got a guy that was thinking more than him and now beat the shit out of him the first time, now comes back this time and really outthinked him and really was beating him to death. I mean, I'm glad they stopped the fight, because I'm going to tell you, if the fight went anymore like it was, Fury would have really hurt him. And that would not been in his best
interest. Your input validates what Breland did, but Mark had said a long time ago, and Dusty, I had told you this, that he said, you know, that, and what you're saying too, Harold, is, you know, Wilder stopped listening. You know, Wilder stopped listening. And the biggest thing is he never learned nothing.
And that's the sad part about it.
He never
because
grew.
Of the fact that he really think that he can really fight.
Harold, what Dusty said, and you said this a long time ago, Dusty, and it kind of hit me a little bit. He said, man, Doc, if he hits it, the thing he kept hitting, he's a guy that, you know, hit that one home run a game. He's batting 252, but he's got 42 home runs, and he thinks he's a hitter. And he's not a hitter. He's a guy that hits the ball a long distance. He's not even a home run hitter. But, it's just last night it exposed him. All the things
Now he's going to be a joke, because he fought a guy that was looked like Santa Claus and beat the shit out of him. And we ain't never had nothing like this before.
Exactly. You see how awkward Tyson Fury is? You figure, this freaking clown. Man, this guy can't do. But the man has a scientific boxing mind, and he applies, alternates. He was smart enough to go to, Reggie Smith?
You know what? Here's the bottom line, Dusty. He won. That's the bottom line. Say what you want about it. I got my man from Chicago. Thanks for joining us last night.
The fight he won was devastating.
People thought he got a bad deal. The last fight. Last night he went into the ring and used that classic line of Joe Louis. He took his referees in the ring with him last night. He took everything right there. John.
Yeah, he did. The crazy thing is about he did change it. He put more weight on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He used more of a jab this time. And what's the name? He had no plans at all how he was coming to fight. Wilder had nothing in his mind how he was going to fight the fight.
Exactly.
Wilder thought he was going to hit him again
he
did the last time.
He had no thought.
But Harold, what I'm saying is he got up both times. So what are you going to do?
Let me give you a good example, okay? George Foreman was just a banger. He knocked out Joe Frazier, and then he thought he was the greatest fighter of all time. He goes in there with Muhammad Ali. Ali has a plan. Foreman just coming in slugging. What happens?
Exactly.
He gets knocked out.
He has a plan, right.
Okay? Now, one thing about this sport that I love so much is that the one that don't come with the plan and think he's a bully is going to get his butt beat every time.
It reminds me of you and Camacho beating the book. Chauncey, you're in here, baby. Last night, some thoughts on the fight.
Oh, I agree with everything everybody said. You know, Fury is a fantastic boxer, and he's a thinker. And like you guys said, the thinking man will always win. And, you know, Wilder just comes in there. Like you said, he just comes in there, I'm going to hit you, and I'm going to knock you out, and that's it. I mean, if that's your plan, then you plan to fail. You're not going to win against somebody that has skills. And as funny looking as Fury is, as badly built as he is, the guy is a very skilled fighter. If anybody watched his fights before he, you know, got caught up in his depression, you know.
Yeah, and the drug things, all that stuff.
The drug and moves.
Yeah. You can see how skilled of a fighter he was. And this next fight, if it happens, whether it be him and Wilder or Fury versus
Joshua.
AJ.
Joshua.
It's going to be very interesting. I can see Fury beating Johnson.
Absolutely.
Well,
Thank you for saying that.
Real quick, Johnson, you know, tomorrow they're doing, you're from Chicago. When we talk about Kobe, I remember that great line somebody said to ask Kobe one time, you know, that you're working on being the second coming of Michael Jordan. He said, no, I'm working on being the first Kobe Bryant. And tomorrow they honor Kobe. And I've listened, though, he was, you know, me and Kobe, I just remember, you know, I was meeting and was talking in his first All-Star game here, you know, in the clubhouse with him, and when he won the, I was in Cleveland when he won the slam. I think I told everybody, you know, when I woke up that Sunday, like today, I slept late and I woke up. On my bed was a poster of Kobe had autographed for me. And then when I went into the bathroom, and I heard it on 10-10 Wins, and 10-10 Wins is my number, as we talk Black History Month, 10-10 Wins should be every black person's, I don't like the American, radio station, because 1010 Wins was the first AM radio station in New York City to play black and Latin artists. So I keep mine on 1010 Wins. And sure enough, the lady came on and she says, NBA basketball legend Kobe Bryant killed in helicopter crash. I go, Kobe? And I turn and there's the picture of me and Kobe from the 1998 All-Star game. And it just hit me. I just never thought I would never see Kobe again. You know, that's just been kind of bothering me, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I was there when he won the Slam Dunk Contest. I was there when he started the All-Star Game. I was there when they won their third championship. The great Larry Hardesty, who opens this show, when they won the championship, Bill Lederman still had Mickey Mantle, Dusty and Harold here in New York. And Bill told us, hey, look, man, they're going to have the party here tonight. So when we partied with Kobe and partied with Shaq, it just shows you that great line. My grandfather told Uncle Paul one time, he said, son, if you got something to do, go ahead and do it, because you ain't got a lot of time. And, you know, it's just, Kobe's one of the few guys I saw from the inception of his career to the end of it. And they honor him tomorrow. And, you know, Chance, you know, you're a guy from Chicago, because I don't know if you know, Chance, that he was contemplating when Detroit beat them, he was contemplating coming to Chicago. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, I was definitely aware of that. People in Chicago was trying to, like, yeah, please come, please come to the Bulls.
Yeah, he said, and when he was talking to Shaq about that, he said, you know, when he heard that Shaq got traded, he stopped. He said, because he knew they weren't going to get rid of both him and Shaquille at the same time. And the rest of Jerry West said, the greatest Laker of all times, 20 years with the Lakers, 5 championships, MVP, also MVP. The guy, like I said, you know, he played his whole 20 years with the Lakers. A great, great player. I was just blessed by God to have a little rapport with him. And like I said, it's just tomorrow they will be honoring him. The memorial will be for him tomorrow. We got him part of my collage, him and Shaquille. We got some pictures, too, Black History Month. This month, the birthdays of some of the greatest players of all time in basketball. Also, Jim Brown, the greatest running back ever, bar none. Floyd Mayweather tomorrow. And Eddie Murray, greatest switch hitter in history of baseball. Their birthday is both tomorrow. And Audrey Chambliss, the wife, the lovely Audrey Chambliss, of the batting coach of the World Champion Yankees, Chris Chambliss, who hit the biggest home run in Yankee history to get him back in the World Series. But he wasn't, as Ollie said, the complexion of the connection. He'd always have a job with the Yankees. I don't understand how a guy gets fired, Chance, and Dusty and Harold gets fired as the batting coach of the World Champions. Chris Chambers got fired as the batting coach of the World Champions. But this month, some big birthdays. So we mentioned those birthdays. Kobe's memorial is tomorrow. Lakers won a big game today, which kind of was fitting as they beat, of all people, the Celtics 114-112. And continued their winning ways, and if they can stay healthy, they're going to be a force to reckon with in the NBA going down the line. Big now, I guess the question too is, I got another call here. Who's the 718-274? Is that you, Harold? No.
718. Yeah.
Okay. I got a 347 call then. Okay. Who's that? 347-325-1085. You
want to
join us?
Oh, That's me.
Who's me?
That's me, Mel. That's me. That's Maxie. It's
okay.
Maxie.
Okay, hey, Maxie. Okay, Max. You know, just say something. Max, you talked about this too. That was the first thing, or should I call you Marion, Max? That's the first thing you said, Max. And you listen to Harold, you listen to Chauncey, you listen to Dusty.
Right.
No way, shape, or form should Wilder had been allowed to go further than what he did. Breland did the thing that he saw as both as a pro,
he's a trainer,
and he's a compassion. Max, your thoughts on that?
Definite. Mark is an old veteran, old school veteran. He learned most of all his tricks from a gentleman named George Washington.
Yes, from Brooklyn.
The Bed-Stuy Gym, and before that was the Spartans, which was on Myrtle and Broadway.
Exactly.
You can see it's the gym from the L.
Wow, you're talking history. Yep, you're right.
You're talking real history. That's how far. And listen, you had a couple other champions in there, a guy named Eddie Gregory at the time. Which
Eddie Gregory.
Hold on.
Hey, Max, you mean Eddie the Flame Gregory?
That's right, the Flame, straight out of Brownsville. Yes, sir.
Man, bro, who came with Mustafa Muhammad?
Learned. Oh, yeah, Eddie Mustafa Muhammad. You had a bunch of guys. Mark's soon-to-be brother-in-law, a guy named Henry Brent. Pepper.
Oh, Pepper. Henry Pepper Brent.
Yeah, Pepper. Sure.
Keep in step with Pepper.
Like
another guy became a world champion.
Exactly.
I made him, yes. Just let him keep on talking. I'm listening to him. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
but just the talent alone, Mark learned so much. A very humble, low-speaking individual, but, man, I'm a talent with all
Max,
that talent.
Max, when you talk about low-speaking, real quick, when you talk about low-speaking, I've never heard Mark Breland or Walt Frazier ever raise their voice. I don't think they can.
Never. Sometimes I used to put my ear on his chest because I know he talked low.
Yeah. I think the question that we see everybody, we saw the fight last night. Chance, we're getting back to the NBA feeling of Kobe, and I want to talk basketball to you real quick, Chance. You know, everybody's talking about the Clippers, and I'm telling everybody two things here. The Clippers are not healthy. You know, George is not a guy you can put all bank on. He'll get hurt in a moment's notice, and, you know, the main man, he's not 100%. So everybody's talking about the Clippers being a team to beat. I don't see them being a team to beat because I have to question their health, especially Kawhi and especially George. I mean, George is a guy that if he can play all season, he's productive. But, you know, he could turn around and trip on an ice cube. I just don't see the Clippers being the team to beat. I think the team to beat is the Lakers. The Clippers are an outstanding team, but I think, Chance, the fact that you have two guys who are suspect to get hurt at a moment's notice, we can't see them as odds on favorite. My thinking, but you're thinking from Chi-Town.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility, you know, of either one of them getting hurt. I can easily see them once they get their positioning in the standings pretty set and secure, starting to really like resting them and you know, letting them sit back to make sure that they are ready and 100% healthy for the playoffs. And I believe once, if they can get to the playoffs healthy, I think they will be the team out of the West. That's just my prediction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, my thing is they're deeper than the Lakers, but their depth depends on both Leonard and George. And George, to me, has always been suspect. He constantly gets hurt.
Yeah.
And I just didn't see him. You know, if Leonard went to the Clippers because of George, I don't think that was a good move. I mean, George is suspect. I just don't see him being. I mean, he's no Scottie Pippen. You know, I just don't see him being the for me. I mean, understand though, he is from L.A. It's already a very good team. Doc is a great coach. He's won a championship. But Doc kind of. I think you know the story about how Doc messed up the deal with the Tim Duncan, right, Chance?
Duncan
was en route to going to Orlando with Grant Hill, and he had another outstanding player. But some of the policies that Doc, and I don't want it because I love the guy, some of the policies that he adapted that were Pat Riley-type policies made Duncan decide to not come. And I think when you talk about great coaches, I think both Pat Riley and Phil Jackson are outstanding coaches, but I can't see them being great. There's no team that they coached that anybody else couldn't have coached. And Riley came here in New York and just shot himself in the foot and winning the championship for the Knicks. So and then he didn't get the championship in Miami until the other guy had the team in place and he took over. I think Riley's been a outstanding coach, but I don't see them in the same class as coaches as Larry Brown, as Chuck Daly, as his coaches. You know, I just think that anybody could have coached a team. They coached, and it's remarkable to me that nobody talks about Phil Jackson when he was the coach of the Lakers when they lost three games to Detroit in Detroit and lost that series 4-1. They act like he wasn't even there. And that's when he broke up the team. But, you know, that's my feeling on the NBA Finals. Gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break and come on back. Harold, I want to talk about Brent and some of those guys that you did, that you worked with down there. But I just want to take a minute or two to one more time. Got another call, a 516 call. That's good. One more time. Salute the birthdays this month. You know, Jim Brown and Michael Jordan had the same birthday, and both guys are considered the greatest ever in their sport. Charles Barkley has a birthday this month, the round, mound, and rebound, a great player, one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history. Bill Russell, the biggest winner of all time. I think that's the hypocrisy of the NBA, move him out the way instead of calling him the greatest player of all time. 11 championships in 13 seasons, two NCAA double championships. He would have won 10 in a row, but he got hurt his second year, and the Celtics didn't win after that. They won 8 straight championships. The great Bill Russell. Also, the birthday this month, Eddie Murray, greatest switcher in the history of baseball. Only 4 people have ever had over 500 home runs, 500 doubles, and got 3,000 hits. They're all minorities. The first, the incomparable, legendary, the greatest player of all time, Willie Mays. Hank Aaron, number 2. Number 3 is Eddie Murphy. And number 4 is Rafael Palmeiro.
Okay.
And then there's Floyd Money Mayweather, the richest fighter ever in the history of boxing. So, happy birthday, gentlemen, to all you. And the greatest songwriter of all time, Smokey Robinson. His birthday is tomorrow. So it's happy birthday to all them. And anybody else has a birthday, or if you're Chambers, my brother James, Babe Ruth's birthday is this month. Hank Aaron's birthday is this month. Mabel, happy birthday from Stevie Wonder.
Hey,
all of us here at SID, welcome to Block Talk Radio on the Special Guard Radio Network. Now, I've got a 516 number. Who's joining us now? 516-543-8897?
My man. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to... Yeah.
Who's this?
Yeah. My dad about to fight about Mark.
Okay. Who's this?
Never.
Mark. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Who's this 516 number now? Okay. Who's calling us? Who's joining the panel?
Yo. What's happening?
Okay. Who we got here?
What up?
Yo. That's
okay. Who we talking to? Who we talking to?
Amel. That's my man.
Okay. What's his name?
He's a Ant Williams.
Okay, Ant, how you doing? Ant, you saw the fight last night. The consensus here is that Wilder still has a lot to learn. He took a beating, and Mark Breland did the right thing by throwing in the towel. Your thoughts on that, Ant?
I absolutely agree. You need to try to fight. Deontay, you can clearly see him getting outboxed. After he got injured, it seemed like he couldn't get. And he knocked him down a couple times. He should have stopped that fight. He was going to get hurt out there.
Yeah, we were saying here, Ant, that we think, and I think it's been a long time, they wanted to kind of move Mark out of that society they have there. So they may use this as a reason, a rationale, or make him the scapegoat. Wilder said, and we could understand. Harold, your thoughts on that. Wilder was saying that, you know, he wanted to go out on his shield. Is that crazy thinking, Harold?
Yeah, well, that's any warrior that's in the fight wants to do.
Okay.
We'll say that and probably do that. There's very few going to go out on a shield and take it to the death, okay? There's very few.
Exactly.
Some of them talk the talk, but everybody don't walk the walk. It's just that, you know, while they're, you know, he just got this macho thing about himself, but he was just getting outpointed.
Yep.
And definitely, you know, he couldn't beat Fury because, for one thing, Fury's a more smarter fighter than he is, like I said earlier. You got those who's just strong and those who are smart in there. And there's only a few that comes out to be smart fighters. There's not many fighters that's really thinking about fighting in the ring. Everybody just thinks throwing punches is fighting. No, it's not. It's more about knowledge and knowing how to throw your punches, where you're throwing your punches, and how many punches you're going to throw in that point. To hit that person in his face or his body.
Right.
And the thing is that very few guys in boxing gets to know how to do that or catch on to learn how to do that. And that's the whole thing that Fury learned how to do. With all that stupid stuff that Fury does, he's a smart fighter of what he's doing. And he changed from the last time from what he fought this time. And that's a remarkable thing of being a fighter, when you can do that kind of thing.
In other words, Harold, you said there's a method to his madness.
There's another thing, listen to his madness,
his nastiness. Because during the press conference, he says, I'm going to make you bleed, and I'm going to drink your blood. In the fourth or fifth round, did you see him licking the blood off Wilder's ear?
Yeah, he did.
Son of a bitch, he kept his word. And everybody was cringing. I said, wow, this guy's insane. I said, this guy... He walks the walk and talks, whatever you call it, talk the talk and walk the walk.
Yeah.
And he did everything that he said was going to do.
I don't hear Joshua calling for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, give him a little time. Give him a little time. They got to put that money on the table.
But Max, do we want to see a Wilder Fury 3? Everybody
Yeah.
Really?
You gotta give Wilder another shot.
Exactly.
Okay.
Gotta give him another shot. Because I mean the first one's a draw and this one.
I tell you what, Mel. I like to see a tune up before. I wouldn't go straight into a Fury. I would like a tune up.
Well, I'm just gonna say this. What they're gonna have to do, and they ain't gonna be able to find him, okay? Is that they're going to have to get another trainer that's smart as hell to change Wilder around and make him a different fighter than what he was. Because Fury's going to change a few things.
Exactly.
And one thing about it, if you don't change, then you're going to be in trouble fighting a guy like Fury. And that's simple as that.
Exactly.
My thing is,
gentlemen, if the offer comes to fight again right away, that's the fight he's got to take. He can't chance a tune-up.
He can't chance losing
to somebody else again.
They can chance anything because if they put anybody in front of them, it's going to be a bum that you can knock out anyway, so there ain't going to be nobody put a threat.
Well, in a sense, it's right about a tune-up because I remember, and this is not a totally different situation, but it's similar, how Keith Thurman came back, took a tune-up, and almost got killed. That's what Josecito Lopez. No, wait a minute. You don't have to agree, but this is my perception.
No.
Dusty, I agree with you. Mike Rosman took a tune-up against Jackie Lopez instead of going to Eddie Mustafa Muhammad. Jackie Lopez. In fact, Dusty, I was there with you when we were at the fight. We went to a relative of your house in Jersey. Jackie Lopez fought Mike Rosman. He fought Rosman and beat him, and we saw the title fight of Yaki Lopez against Matthew Saad Muhammad. Matthew beat him, and Yaki said, he said, you know what? He said he's a great champion because I got tired of hitting him. But he got the title fight because Rosman took him as a tune-up and got – Harold, our friend Joe. We love Joe. Joe took a tune-up with George instead of going back to Ali. Instead of going back to Ali, he never saw the title again.
So the fact of the matter is, yes, he better get one of his sparring partners I'm being very serious, not insulting.
But the tune-ups today is so easy to get.
Exactly.
Is that these guys can't fight anyway, so whoever you fight is a tune-up no matter how you look at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a threat to the fighter, but I mean, with Wilder in general, you know, what he needs, and hate to say it, they're going to have to sit down and structure to get a plan together,
exactly,
to get a trainer that really is going to show this kid how to really put things together and make him a better fighter.
I don't think Wilder can do it.
He can do it, but you need somebody that he's going to listen to and teach him the right fundamentals
of
fighting.
Harold, you said at the beginning of the show, who's out there that can do this, Harold? There's nobody out there, Harold. There's nobody out there, Harold. Are you going to become a trainer? Is Dusty going to become a trainer? There's Harold. Think about it. In your words, Harold, it's sad and touching. There's nobody out there. Maybe. Maybe Buddy McGirt. But there's nobody out there, Harold.
Buddy, no, no, not even Buddy can do it, because Buddy's still, you can see what Buddy has developed in his own way. So, I mean, I'm not even going to put that out there. I mean, you need a guy that really knows the game. I'm talking about going back.
Harold, but who's left, Harold? Who do we have left? They're all gone.
Yeah, you're right. All the old times are gone.
Harold, your dad is gone, Gil is gone, Emmanuel's gone. Angelo's gone. Yank Durham's gone. They're gone.
The only guy who may be a throwback. Listen to what I'm saying. A throwback to the possibility of developing would be Tyson Fury's new trainer from Gronk, who is a nephew of him, Michael Stewart, who taught him the fundamentals, who changed him.
Okay, you know what? There's the link. And you know what? You brought a point, because it was him who made the change in this fight.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. He changed him to improve him.
But I tell you what, if he makes another change, if a third fight, he's going to kill him. If he makes another change, he's going to kill him.
Well, that's his...
Well, I mean, the whole thing we know Wilder, well, like we're saying right now, Wilder needs a trainer. My point is that Fury's going to change. He's always going to change. Because a guy like him that's thinking, they always give him standing on something to his next fight.
Exactly.
And that's the way guys are about thinking. That's how you become good and good at boxing as you
mature. You told me when you fought other guys, you learned from them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I learned from them, and I added on to what I learned from them.
Exactly.
And they learned from you. Hedgman Lewis...
Right,
Those are old time.
Wilfredo Benitez.
That was the whole thing of the knowledge of, you know, being with Griffin.
It's a different era, man. It's a whole other world, man. I was in Brazil when this happened, December 19th. So I want to go back. I've been trying to catch you. Your thoughts to reflections, and I remember when Buddy McGirt was given the WBC welterweight championship belt. At the ceremonies was your good friend, our hero, who just passed away on the Salt Mammy. Can you give us some thoughts and remembrance of your reflection on just a classic boxer like yourself, old school, your thoughts on your friend and the passing of Salt Mammy? Please, Harold.
Oh man, that's the most humble guy in the world. I mean, I have never. Here's a man's in a brutal sport where guys are cursing each other out and trying to kill each other in the ring, and he's the most nicest guy that I have ever met. That never ever I ever heard him raise his voice at any time in my whole lifetime being with Mamby.
Mm-hmm.
And Mamby, when Mamby came down to my, when we have just fought, and he came to my gym, he said, "I want to learn from you what you know." And I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" He said, "I want to spar with you until I get to know what you know." And so he came, we had just fought a 10-round fight in the garden, and he substituted for the fight. And everything, because he never fought the garden before. And so we fought to a draw and everything. But when he came to my gym the following week and said he was going to spar with me, he stayed with me for a whole year.
Wow.
A whole year just to box me and everything. And then when he left and he started getting these fights and started winning, I was very happy for him, but when he won the championship of the world, went overseas and won the championship of the world, I was more happy for him than any fight I've ever been happy for in life, because his record was so terrible, and they used him so bad in his lifetime. But when he became champion, I was very happy for him to give. That's the only person,
you know,
for
Harold,
him and Griffin was the only people that I was very, very happy to be world champion.
You know, Harold, let's take a quick moment to...
Yeah, but let me
ring
tell
the bell
you
for him.
You,
I'm gonna tell you. Hold on, Dust. Hold on.
No, before you go, no, but that's all good.
Go ahead, Dusty.
No, in history, Saul Mammy. I knew Saul Mammy when he was a young kid, 11 and 12, when he came into my gym, and I was the big shot amateur. And I used to spar with him as a little kid. He says, I'm going to be great. I'm going to be good. You got to teach me your left hook. No, this is true. I mean, if I'm lying, I'm dying. That's how long I know Sal Mami. PAL Gym, Lynch Center in the Bronx, 152nd Street, and in the Bronx, you know, South Bronx. He used to come in every day and says, I want to learn. I want to learn. I want to be this. I want to be that. I'm going to be the next Muhammad Ali. He used to tell me that. I said, shut up, kid. But then he started winning fights as an amateur. So now the Harrow knows him from all that time. And it shows, you know, I'm only spinning tail to the Harrow story.
Validating.
We love it. How nice he was, how humble he was,
man.
How much he wanted to learn, how much he was into being the best and trying, and there are times he used to make me laugh. He used to switch southpaw and then switch right-handed and speed and throw punches and, you know, and spar with me for 5-6 rounds just to learn and pick up a lot of stuff that I knew he wanted to learn. So he was always a student of the game. And when he became a world champion, I said, oh, my God, that freaking little punk kid that I knew in the gym.
Well, you know what? He told me the story of that. He told me... the last time I saw Sal Mambi, Harold, Dusty, Chunk, on the Uptown number 4 trip, he said, hey, champ, you know, because he had got to the point that he's having some dementia problem. We talked for a while now. He told me when he won the title, he said when they handed him the trophy, because he knocked the guy out, when they handed him the trophy, it had the other guy's name on it. Okay?
Are you serious?
He said when they handed him the trophy, it had the other guy's name on it, and they were in such an uproar, they had to leave straight from the ring right to the airport.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because
right.
When he was fighting for that title, he came to my gym, and he worked with me that whole period of time.
Wow.
And everything.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right,
and I was so proud when I heard he won it, man, because, I mean, I take my hat off to Don King for even helping him get into the top 10.
Yeah.
Okay?
You know, Harold, you know, you're so on the money. Because they wanted him to come down and testify against Don. He said he wouldn't do it. He said,
right.
I'm not. He said,
yeah,
Don
he do
gave
he
me
it.
My title shot.
Right.
He said,
I'm not
going to do it. That's Harold. We're all adding to the story. He said he wasn't going to do it. Don gave him his title shot. Harold, you're on the money, Harold. You're on the money.
Right, because, I mean, he had the worst record of being a champion of the world.
Exactly. He had the worst record.
But whether any champion,
Dusty.
I don't care who you name or what weight class, I don't care.
Dusty.
He has the worst record. As
Dusty,
a champion.
Harold, he said when they handed him the trophy, Harold, Dusty, Sean, it had the other guy's name on it.
Let me tell you something about a record, though. There was a fighter with the worst record out there, a guy named Freddie Pelton, if you all remember that name.
Pelton?
Yeah, I know.
Pelton.
Listen, Freddie Pelton knocked out Jimmy Paul's tooth. You understand what this guy can hit? He knocked out Mayweather, Roger. Out in Vegas,
wow.
It was a doubleheader with the. It was a doubleheader with the late Steve McCrory. It was a doubleheader
Steve
out in
McCrory.
Vegas.
Wow,
you're
talking
history,
man.
I'm talking real history. I was there, so that's why I said you can't go by a guy's record.
Exactly.
Sometimes people show up to fight, and sometimes they get railroaded, and you go on by losses when they really
yeah,
sell
yeah.
They
I mean,
won.
Well,
exactly.
Look at, look at Iran. You got Iran Barkley fighting Tommy Hearns. What got him through that fight? The passion of Davey Moore. I was there.
Right.
Las Vegas Hilton. I was there.
No, the reason why he got through the fight because of Harold Weston, he wouldn't have been shit if he didn't talk to me.
But listen,
tell the story, Harold.
Huh? Excuse my language. Sorry about that.
Tell the story.
Oh, well, the first part of this story is. Iran Barkley was nothing when Bob Arum threw him out his contract, okay? He had lost two fights in a row on TV on ESPN. Arum tore the contract up right in the dressing room, okay, that night of the fight.
In the dressing room, Harold?
In the dressing room, okay? And he told me he didn't want to have nothing to do with him anymore, all right? So then Bobby Miles came to me and asked me, man, can you do me a favor? And I said, what? And he said, well, I'm getting ready to work with Iran Barkley.
Harold, hold on a minute. Chance, Harold was the only black matchmaker in the history of Madison Square Garden. So he's talking
about
now.
That's right. I remember that. Yes, he was.
Okay, as his run, and he had what I call suicide matches. You know, Harold, I remember walking into Harold's office, Max, Chauncey.
Uh-huh.
I remember, man, because they thought of I was at his office. I remember walking into Harold's office, and he was on the phone. And I'll never forget this, Harold. Okay, Harold said, he was on the phone. He said, I don't care if he's green, black, blue, or yellow. Can he fight? Okay?
Well,
that was Harold's credo. He wasn't worried about the tissue. I'll never forget that, Harold. I'll never forget that. I don't care if he's green, black, blue, or yellow. Can he fight? And then Harold became the greatest matchmaker, even the late matchmaker, the guy that everybody thought was the best of all time. He told Harold that Harold was the greatest match. Harold produced four world champions. Harold, give me all seven names in. Hold on, I gotta write them because I keep saying four. I know. Hold on, let me get my pen because I gotta get this right, man. Because it's history. But I remember. Let me get my pen. Hold on, don't move.
Was Mark Madell one of them?
Yes.
Mark Madell.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was a big upset.
Harold.
Mark Madell was one of them. I remember that one.
Yeah, Mark Madell. Like you just said, Mark Madell.
Mark Madell.
Yeah.
Iran Barkley.
Right.
And I tell people. Well, Laporte was the first Puerto Rican. Laporte, what I remember about Laporte, he fought Julio Cesar Chavez in the Garden. And
that's
it was a
right.
close fight. A close fight.
Who we beat.
At the end.
Who we beat.
And when they asked Chavez, I'll never forget this. Said the fight was close. He said, what about had they given the decision to Laporte? Chavez said, I'll never forget this. And it shows what a great champion. He says, I wouldn't have argued.
Yep,
okay? That's a bad motherfucker,
yeah, right.
man. Okay, when Chavez they said, you know, it was a close fight. So what about have they given the fight to Laporte? And the great Julio Chavez said, I wouldn't have argued.
That was
okay,
one of
now,
the toughest fights at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was
a hell of a fight.
That was at the Laporte became the first Puerto Rican to win. Laporte was the first Puerto Rican to win the featherweight champion. You had Mark Madell, you had Iron Barkley, and you had the guy, okay, who was and Marion Borgen always said it was a textbook fight. And I tell everybody right now, if he was around today, or if they had fought in his day, the guy that could beat, okay, and to show you how great he was, okay, past his prime, drug ridden, he still with the distance with Chavez, Trinidad, and De La Hoya. And you told me the fight was made. Okay, but Duke told you, Harold, what? Keep that Puerto Rican away from my Mexican until they get slower? Is that
right.
What he said, Harold? Tell me about it, Harold. Huh?
Yeah, no.
Right.
Camacho was a bad man, man. He was a bad
Chavez,
man.
Chavez, Camacho
oh,
was made.
Duke
was a bad
Duke
man.
Duke Durden. Hey, Max.
Duke Durden.
Max.
Wow.
Don King made the fight. Don
That's
King
right.
made the fight.
Yeah.
And
Duke
said, no. He told Harold. He called Harold in that fight talk, Harold. Keep that Puerto Rican away from my Mexican till he gets slower.
Yeah, right.
It was something else at 1:30. Woo, you couldn't touch him.
Couldn't touch him.
Rafael Ramon.
Okay, Harold, who's the other three guys? Also, Pepper Brent, right?
Yeah, Pepper Brent.
Okay.
You got Iran Barkley down there?
I got Blade, huh? Mm-hmm.
All right. You got Juan Laporte?
I got Laporte, Madell, Barkley, Camacho and Brent. Who's the other two?
Okay, and you got Bernard Hopkins.
Bernard, but did you promote David Moore too? Local.
No, that was Aram.
Aram. Oh, okay.
Okay, who was the other one outside Hopkins too, Harold? We got one more.
And you got what's that boy's name? Oh, because
You were the one that told Bernard he was fighting at the wrong weight.
Yeah, Bernard Hopkins, yeah.
Yeah,
I got Bernard. I was messing with Bernard when he had an 0-1 record.
Right.
Yeah, and you're still waiting for him to call you back, right?
Yeah, right, no. I mean, we made him up to 19-1 and everything, got him to the world championship. Bernard Hopkins. I forgot the other kid's name. Jesus
okay,
Christ.
Okay, close. Gentlemen, real quickly, we're going to slide the football. Go back to Chance. Now, you had a league.
Oh,
how'd
you remember,
do this
and remember when I had, you remember when Carl Williams fought Larry Holmes? We
the,
won,
they
won the world championship
yeah.
then.
Carl
yeah,
the truth,
yeah, yeah.
Call the truth.
Yeah, call
yeah,
the truth.
Wow.
You know what, man? You know, it's funny. I remember my uncle was saying he had a cousin one time. They were conversating, and my cousin said, you know, you don't mind dying, but you stay dead so long. And I'm thinking about, you know, Carl, Harold, how long has it been since Carl passed? It's got to be at least 10 years since Carl passed, right?
Yeah.
At least 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
At least 10, man.
But that
you
was
know?
His greatest. Johnson that Hull. Was one of the greatest moments of his life, his career, when he fought Larry Holmes. And he beat
exactly.
Larry Holmes.
They still fight to him. Charles, get back to you football wise. Talk about your league you got out there. How'd you do? How did things go this year for y'all? What are we looking for in the future?
Doc, I gotta go. I got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. I gotta go.
Okay.
Okay.
Take care,
stay
well, baby.
Take care,
nice
bro.
Okay.
Take care, baby.
Right.
Take care.
Right.
Take care. Before I get the world of flag football, one thing I'll say about Wilder, a good tune-up fight. I think that would be good for him would be him versus Andy Ruiz. I think that would be a good fight for both of them.
Well, I said my thing is two things here. He's got to have a tune-up fight that he definitely can win. And he can't take a tune-up fight if they're going to offer him to go back to Fury again. He's got to go straight back to Fury. You got to go back to where the money is, which would be the fight. And, you know, so,
and,
I mean,
Doc,
it's just...
The first thing they got to do, they got to really get their corner together in that training situation squared away.
Uh-huh.
Because
yeah, well,
he's not gotten
Harold,
any...
Harold, not
here's
do
a man
Harold.
With 30-something fights and haven't gotten any better.
Harold, what they're going to do is, if anything, and I think Max, they're going to get rid of Mark and make it seem that was the problem. Because the white guy is not leaving and the cousin's not going either. Okay, so if anybody's going, it's Mark. In my
well,
opinion.
He don't have to actually go unless Deontay put his foot down. That tells us what kind of guy he is.
Well, yeah, listen, man, I'm going to tell you something, man. I don't think he would do that. Now, I remember Angelo said one thing about Ali, but the many things he says, he said, Ali always looked out for me. He said
uh-huh.
sometimes
he did.
Don't mess with Angelo. So he
right.
said, no, he has some
right.
other fighters. I'm not going to mention another guy. Another guy that looked out for him. He said, you know who we're talking about, Al. But he said, Ali always looked out for me. Okay,
right,
he told Don,
right,
don't mess
right.
with Angelo. You know?
That's right.
So, I don't think, and I hope I'm wrong, I don't think Wilder is cut from the same kind of cloth. Not a big cut, but I don't think he's going to do that for Mark. I don't think he's going to do that for
I'm
Mark.
I'm
going to
give
you
a scenario, and if you remember this, if Tommy Hearns had left Emmanuel for about two fights. He went with a guy named Alex Shear, who moved out to California and started doing his own thing. But
man,
they knew each other.
What two fights were that? Please tell me that.
Iran to Bray Barkley. No, it wasn't two. It was Iran, and then it was another fight. I can't remember the opponent. The first fight was with Emmanuel, but then they had a split. Tommy had left Emmanuel, and Alex Shear, who was
No, you got that wrong, my brother. Let me just, because I'm a Detroit. Emmanuel Stewart had gotten sick. And that was the reason why he wasn't working with Tommy. He got sick. He got sick.
I'll leave that one alone. Trust
me.
Like I said,
I think
Alex Shear was my man. Alex Shear was my man, and he worked with Tommy.
Okay, so we validate that he worked with Tommy, but we also validate Tommy didn't leave Emmanuel then. That's good. So that's covered. Go ahead, Max.
His nephew has to get the credit because you see the difference in the punches and the confidence.
No, there's no question about it. There's no question about that. And unfortunately for Wilder, he's in Fury's corner. I remember the great line Marion Borkin said one time. Marion Borkin said, in every major fight, Emmanuel Stewart should be in both corners. But sadly for Wilder, the guy that possibly could be the difference because he's not listening to Mark is in the other guy's corner. So we'll just see what happens. Yeah, we got something happening. Chance, get back to you on football real quick. What's happening now?
Everything's good. Our season is about to start in about 3 weeks. We play in the largest contact male flag football league in the Chicagoland area, and last month in January, we're down in Orlando for the World's Championships, and that tournament is huge. There's about 750 teams that come from all over the world that plays different divisions, 8-on-8, 9-on-9, 7-7, 5-on-5, co-ed, all women's, kids. It's great. It's entertaining, and it's a lot of fun, and a way for guys to, you know, stay in shape and still, you know, have their little competitive joints that they can get off mm-hmm. every Sunday.
All right, so we're going to have you with us from now on every week. Also, coming at you, there's a rumor I heard that Odell Beckham may wind up going to the Patriots. You heard anything on the hotline? I just you know, talk is cheap, but I heard that he may be going to, Baker Mayfield, to me, is perpetrated a fraud. One of the best things that ever happened was they fired that head coach. I think Mayfield has to go, too. There's some talk about, I know some people have some contacts. Tom Brady flew out to L.A. last week, so if he's going any place, it may be on the West Coast, as he is a West Coast guy. This question I shoot to you, too, do you think Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, Chance?
No, I think he's up there. There's no question that he's up there. But I just can't give it to a guy where the rules have been changed to protect him and other quarterbacks. Like, I can't see him playing this long and surviving in the 80s and the 90s and before then, where you could actually, you know, touch a quarterback. You know, those guys were getting killed. Elway, Marino, Kelly, Montana,
Joe Namath,
all those guys.
Warren Moon.
Yeah, you didn't want to see them ones in the 60s and 70s.
All those guys were getting killed.
Yeah. I mean, my thing with Doc Sandy Sports and the Block Talk Radio Trust and Guard Network with William Shirley, my thing with Brady, and I take my hats off to him, and even if you know the pitch is coming, you still got to hit it, but Brady plays in a division where they sweep the Jets, they sweep the Bills, they sweep the Dolphins. That's 6 wins they got.
Right.
Now they got 10 games left. They are, without question, a better than 500 football team. But if they just play 500 football, okay, they win 11 games, okay? So they're 11-5. You know, they get the first round bye. You see what happened this year where they didn't get the first round bye. I think he's a great quarterback. And my big problem I have, Sue, Harold, Max, and Chance, how do you tell me you're a quarterback and you got 100 plays on your arm? Back in the old days, Joe Namath called his own plays. Warren Moon.
Yes, sir.
Johnny Unitas. It's like a guard today. How can you be a point guard and a shooting guard? A guard, back in my day, Harry, you had to know how to dribble the ball and shoot the jump shot. You know, you couldn't be out there just dribbling. Hey, man, shoot the ball. You know, I think Grady is a great player. He's a great guy. You know, he stands up for a lot of black issues, too. He backed Randy Moss when Randy Moss came. He said Malcolm Butler should have been the MVP when they gave the trophy to him. But as the greatest of all time, I think, you know, you could put a lot of guys in that system. They talk about Joe Montana, too. But Steve Young came along, and it was the system that made those guys great. People forget that the California offense was throwing the ball 7-8 yards down the field, not 15-16 down the field. But I agree with you there, Chance. Gentlemen, I ain't going to hold you too much longer. We're going to close shortly. But in closing, I always want to come up with some last thoughts. And, man, Harold, I was really glad that you opened up about Solomon. I remember seeing him on the train the last time, about 2 years ago, and then I remember thank God that one of the items I have in the my Sports and Death Trust and Guard Artifacts Hall of Fame is a pair of his trunks. But I remember Harold, he told me this story, man. He said, when they handed me the trophy, it had the other guy's name on it. He said, we had to leave straight from the ring right to the airport.
Yeah,
Harold,
he told me that. Yeah,
Chance,
he told me
that
story.
Chance, Harold, Chance, Max, he said, when he looked at the trophy, it had the other guy's name on it. He said, this ain't my name.
Yeah, that's terrible. That is absolutely terrible.
Yeah, man.
I mean, Mamby is the only fighter I know. And I don't know all the fighters that's been fighting. But he's the only one that I know been around the world, really been around the world to fight. In every country, I mean, you can name Mamby fought. And I mean, he took fights on 4-day notice and 2 days notice and stuff like that, and flew to different states and countries and stuff. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And he went the distance at that particular time. One thing about Mammy, he could take a big punch and everything. But I, like I said earlier, fella, I was so happy for one person to ever win a world championship was Sol Mamby. I was very happy for him. I mean, for all the fighters in the world, but he was one guy. I'm glad he had the opportunity to win the world championship for what they had was doing to him at the beginning of his career.
Don King, only in America. Harold, some closing thoughts.
No, that was before Don King. That was even before Don King. Don helped.
Yeah, no, I know that. I said, but Don was, like I said, Don was the one that finally, you know, got him a title shot.
Yeah, Don finally made his record be better than what it was when everybody was using him to just get wins for their fighters and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Harold, some closing thoughts before you leave us tonight.
Well, you know, we're in the 2020 years, and we got to see if things can change, because it better change, because if it don't get any better than what's going on today, we're in trouble. But I just hope that things happen for the best for these young generation, so we can go in the right direction and do the right things for everybody.
Harold Weston Jr., boy, the greatest matchmaker. Teddy Brenner. When Teddy Brenner said you was the best ever, that was it, Harold. End of conversation.
That was it. I was shocked when he told me, because he don't give up no awards to nobody.
Right.
2-2. It's always 4. Max, some last thoughts for you leave us tonight, baby.
Wilder, Fury, July.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. They're going to have to put this, while it's still in everybody's mouth, they're going to have to bring that. I just hope he don't get rid of my man, because I think Mark did a good service by him.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
and
like we talked earlier, Joe McCullough, listen, man, anything can happen in that ring.
That's
you
right.
You know what I'm saying? You could come, Joe, hey, even the great Joe Lewis fell to Max Schmel in the first go round.
Yeah.
Anything can happen in that ring, man. He saved him. I don't care. I'll go on my shield with that
one. He saved him to fight another day.
There you go.
Like I said,
there you go.
I just hope they don't use that as a rationale for their reason to get rid of Mark, because it's sad that this boy had the excess ability of a guy like Mark and wasn't listening to him at all. Gentlemen, hang on one more time as Marvin Gaye has this to say before we go on our way. Mr. Gaye, please.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing. When the world won't be singing. Flowers won't grow. No. Bells won't be ringing. Who really cares? Who's willing to try? Who is willing to try to save a world? To save a world that's destined to die. That is destined to die. When I look at the world, it fills me with sorrow. Little children today. Children today. Really gonna suffer tomorrow. Really suffer tomorrow. Oh, what a shame. What a shame. Such a bad way to live. Such a bad way to live. Who is to blame? We can't stop living. We can't stop living. Live. Live. Live for life. But let's live, everybody. Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Got your last thoughts. Max, last thoughts when you leave the show tonight.
Yeah,
so good to have you. Definitely want us back next week. Last thoughts, Max.
Man, it's a nice show, man. I enjoyed the fight. I kind of was pulling for Deontay, but I was also pulling for my man, Javen. So, I mean, you know, it's...
So you couldn't lose. You couldn't lose. You know, you $100, you put $50 in both fighters.
There you go. It's all under the tutelage of Emmanuel Stewart, who was also trained Mark, and he learned a lot. Mark learned a lot from him. So it's just a big web, man. It's heavy.
Well, definitely. You know, I have a different autographs, and I have a poster that Emmanuel signed to me, and it touches my heart deeply and shows how blessed I am. And it says to a great friend, Melvin.
Mm-hmm.
He was that. He's somebody I've known in a bit of a long time, just like Al, his family. And
well,
Judge, last thought. Go ahead, Max. Go ahead, Max. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I met Mr. Weston through Prentice. They had a fight they was trying to set up. I don't know if he remembers this. With, I believe it was Mark Medell against Dave Braxton, and Dave cracked a rib.
Yeah.
I don't know if he remembers that. And
I
Dave
remember
cracked
it.
A rib at the gym, and they had to postpone it.
Yeah.
I remember. I was right there. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's how far
Harold Weston Jr.
Over 30. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Harold Weston Jr., baby.
Yeah,
that's
Mark Medell. Mark Medell is one of my miracle champions.
Yeah. Nice guy, too.
Yeah.
Very humble individual.
Nice guy. Nice
yeah.
guy in the world. But he was the slowest fighter I have ever worked with and made him world champion.
Yeah. You used to train on 42nd Street. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was. but we made him champion.
That's right.
Hey, that's
champion.
Right. that's the bottom
that.
Line.
Yeah.
Josh, last thoughts from you. Chi-Town.
Great fight last night on Fury's behalf. I'm just hoping that if Wilder can come back, that he actually learns how to box and he learns from this situation, and this loss humbles him and opens his ears to learning and becomes a better fighter.
Mm. Ryan Borgen always says
like
the greatness of a fighter is shown in what he does after he loses and what he does as he gets knocked down. I remember the Ali Frazier fight, and the reporters were telling Ali that Joe had said that he didn't think he'd want to fight him again. Ali said, oh, how wrong he is.
You are.
I remember Sugar said, oh, how wrong he is. You know what I mean? And Sugar Ray Robinson You know, people forget, you know, after he lost to Turpin, he came back, and when he won the title against the founder of Kool & the Gang, Tommy Bell, you know, that was a split decision. And Tommy Bell knocked Ray Robinson down face first. Ray Robinson got up and won the welterweight championship of the world. And for 5 years, he held it because nobody could beat him. And they didn't want to get in the first place. So Bell and the great Walker Smith Jr. And now, gentlemen, my closing theme, you can leave if you want. If not, I remember this from an album my dad brought in my comedy career. He's the first artist over the four, the late great Book Benton and the Lost Pit.
I was walking down the street in a little old country town. I saw a rusty penny half buried in the ground. As I reached down to pick it up, I saw beneath the rust these words just barely visible: in God we trust. I held it for a moment. Then suddenly I knew what God, in all his wisdom, would have me say and do. He used this worthless penny to make me understand that life is not worth living without the Master's hand.
Oh, in God we trust. In God we trust. We're lost just like this penny, unless in God we trust.
And then I heard a still small voice within me whisper, very clear, "Be still and know that I am God, and I'm always near. When all your dreams come tumbling down around you in the dust, remember this lost penny and place in me your trust."
Oh, in God we trust. In God we trust. We're lost just like this penny, unless in God we trust.
Our closing song. Everybody's talking about last night's situation. Just got a note from Lady A. Dante Wallace Cornerman deserves better than towel throwing scorn. And sort of supporting the thoughts and mindsets that everybody here said. You know, he saved his fighter and saved a life. Mark Breland. And wow. What can be said about that? Dr. Andy Sports at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. And now, hey, Sports in Depth. Dr. Emily Stanley Sr. and his Sports Posse is an in-depth, informative, educational, historical look at the world of sports. on his renowned and legendary award-winning radio show, Sports in Depth. A version from both a daily and historical perspective, bringing also both an in-depth look and perspective not only of sports of our times, but two of the players and performers of the said events, both now and yesteryear. Sports in Depth, a.k.a. SID, also brings us the unique strategies of sports from an intellectual perspective, not just athletics, because it takes raw God-given talent and conditioning. The two takes a blessed mind, fueled with passion, determination, intellect, and belief, compelling, accomplishing too. And with the in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect of Doc's iconic posse, Sports in Depth is too the world in depth. Thanks for joining us once again. We'll always rope the rumors, hog tie issues, and brand new truth. Doc's words of written wisdom, or a.k.a. Julius Luigi's words of wealth. Giving love has no guarantee of receiving it back. The guarantee of tomorrow is none. Being prepared and getting prepared are vastly different. Kinship does not mean or has a guarantee of friendship. The best you can do can mean not the best that can be done. A real buddy is closer than a tight friend, and almost just as tight as a real true brother. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Stress and Garvey Network. I am my brother's keeper, Roberto Clemente. My brother's come in all colors, Nelson Mandela. Life's most persistent, urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Service to others is rent you pay for your room here on earth. Muhammad Ali, who also said, I never look down on the people that look up to me. Dr. King, by giving an occasional act or a permanent state of mind. I simply say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all. Trust in God. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Live Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network. Trust in God.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
And we close this show going the distance for a man who always did go the distance. Was a class act, a credit to his race in the game, our late friend, Sol Mamby. We miss you, champ. This is for you. We'll be right back. in memory of a champion at all times and always. So join us once again over at Rope the Rumors. Parents often treat you not like blood, or not blood, but they let you know, but indeed, you ain't family. Giving love has no guarantee of receiving it back. If tomorrow is none, being prepared and getting prepared, that's the difference. Friendship doesn't mean or has a guarantee of friendship. Two, mean not the best can be done. Real buddy is closer than a tight friend, almost just as tight as a brother. Once again, Doc Stanley is sponsored at Blog Talk Radio, Boston Guard Radio Network. Doc's words of wit, wisdom, and truth, a.k.a. here's Luigi's words of wealth. Wasn't up Sunday. Kobe says Black History Month, Fury stops Wilder. Trust in God. Sports in Depth. Bob Talk Radio. Trust in God Radio Network. Ike Stanley. Sports Posse. Nancy. Ira Wesson Jr. Max. Dusty. Thanks for being with us once again. Trust in God.